looming up as Emakura, though. Emakura on the outside taking over. Emakura's coming right away for Damien Oliver. And Emakura's brewing in the Queensland Oaks. Emakura's won second Rio, third now on a deal.
He was at his best, Ollie. It was a classic ride, saving all the ground. And Emakura was the strongest stayer, this lightly raced daughter of Kermadec. And it was pretty easy in the end. And once again, it is time to say congratulations to Damien Oliver for another Group 1 victory. He's 128. How are you, Ollie?
Good, thanks, Michael.
Did you think you had that race in your keeping a long way out? Because it was a pretty confident ride, especially coming up to the turn. You looked like you were travelling sweetly.
Yeah, well, I drew an inside gate and I was a fair way back in the field. It was a truly run race and I needed a little bit of luck getting through, and I thought there might be some tiring horses coming to the turn, but they managed to keep going for a little while to take us into the straight, and it opened up beautifully for us. So I was able to save a lot of ground, and she's a strong staying type of filly, and saving that ground on the turn and having an uninterrupted run really helped us seal victory.
Hey, Damien, just late in your career, how nice is it to get out of Victoria and sort of just remind people elsewhere of what you bring to the table? Was it just a nice little departure from town, from Victoria, to nail one at this stage of your career up there?
Yeah, it was great. I haven't been to Queensland much in recent times, and, it was good to get a call up from Chrissy Lees, who's been a good friend and a great supporter over the years. We've had a lot of success together. So he took a bit of twisting my arm to go up there, actually, because I've been in Adelaide the last 4 weeks and was kind of nearly ready just to stay home. But I'm glad he pushed for me to go. And, it was fantastic.
He's an underrated trainer to a degree, isn't he, Ollie? I know he sort of gets along and gets plenty of good horses through his stable, but you look back at some of the, particularly the fillies and mares that he's had, Samantha Mears and horses like that. He really knows the key to getting the best out of the girls.
Yeah, he does. I think he has a lot of horses in training, and but when he does get a good one, he's really good at nailing target races, which a lot of good trainers are, but Chris especially, and he's just a ripping bloke as well, which makes it even better.
I know we've asked you this question in a roundabout way a million times, but 128 Group 1 winners. There's great trainers who never trained one, and there's very, very, very good jockeys who, Jamie Mott, who just got his first, Do you wonder how, when you reflect on your career, how you've found the time to ride 128 Group 1 winners?
I think being based in Australia for most of my career sort of helped, when you're at the top end of the jockeys, you do get some great opportunities to ride in those big races. I've had some success overseas too, but probably not spending too long a period of time overseas has helped me to be able to get that to that sort of number. But it's a number that I'm proud of, and I recognise that it's not easy to get to, especially later in your career when you probably don't get as many opportunities as you were when you were younger in those big races.
I think you proved on Saturday, though, you're still riding in that type of form. Do you think that you are riding as well as you have been?
Yeah, I've had a good year, probably not a great year by my standards, but, I understand as you get older that the next generations are coming through, so you expect those guys to get some more opportunities. Had a lot of placings this year. I think, probably 30 more seconds and thirds than winners. So, if you take some of those out to first, I'd probably up there towards the top of the jockeys premiership. So that's been a little frustrating, but I still feel like I'm riding well, and if I get on the right horse, I can certainly get the job done.
We were talking at the start of the show about how your career and Frankie Dettori's career have similar elements, similar age, similar GOAT status in different jurisdictions, but he's on a whistle-stop farewell tour. What do you think of when you think of Frankie Dettori's career and this final sort of amazing chapter of his career, Ollie, when you look at it from afar?
Well, we all know what a star Frankie is, a great rider all around the world. His probably record in Australia hasn't been as good as he's elsewhere, but, for a guy to be at the top of his game for so long around the world, it's just extraordinary, and it's a fitting farewell for him. Frankie is, he's the real showman, and, for him to go out in this sort of style is is fantastic to see him getting those, still getting those great opportunities in big races, and even better to see him delivering on the big stage.
As a contemporary of his, Ollie, how closely are you following this last lap that he's putting on at the moment?
I'm not a big follower of international racing, sort of. I actually managed to watch the English Derby on the weekend, but I do look at the results and then, you know, follow up and watch a little bit of the racing, but I'm not a huge follower of international racing, I must admit.
I was watching Seven's coverage on the weekend, the tail end, and it was great that you were able to join the team, but you did leave everyone hanging a little bit, and I know this is something that you hate to discuss, but this was your response to, I think, when Bruce or Richo asked you about what the next few months or the rest of your career looks like leading into spring.
Oh, I haven't made any decisions on my future yet, but I'm still enjoying my riding, and you know, I'm going to have a holiday over winter, and we'll see how we go, but I haven't ruled anything out yet.
So you can't be retiring, Ollie, before spring, surely?
I think they were trying to get one out of me. They keep seem to keep asking me, but as I said, I haven't made any decisions. But I'm really, really looking forward to going on a holiday. I don't like the winter too much in Melbourne, so it'll be nice to get out for a bit of a break, some warm weather. And, as I said, I haven't made any decisions on what I'm going to do yet.
128's a wonky number too. I remember Black Caviar, 25 from 25 and all that. 128's just incomplete in some way. Where are you off to, Olive, with the surfboard?
No, going to play some golf this year. Going to the US to play some golf and go to the US Open, and looking forward to that.
Hang on, this is that round. This is this much anticipated round. Is it Cypress Point?
Yeah, and Pebble Beach. Yep, looking forward to it.
Who's on the team?
No, Digger got dumped.
No, there's a group of us going, so yeah, it should be great.
Just last one on it though. Physically, mentally, are you keen to, at this stage, keep going, even if it is just until the end of the year? You must start to think about what the next phase is.
Yeah, look, I'm still enjoying my riding, still enjoying it, and the body feels good. And, you know, as long as I'm still getting some reasonable opportunities, I'm happy to keep going.
He'd be a good poker player. He gives you nothing, Felgate.
Well,
nothing.
This could be what the next phase is, either Seven or sitting behind a microphone. Is that what you would like to do after you hang up the irons?
Yeah, I think media would be a logical area for me to go into. Yeah, it's something I enjoy talking about racing and following it still. So, yeah, that's something I'd certainly look at for sure.
Could you be as controversial as a Matt Stewart?
No, we'll see you at the soup kitchen where we have our meetings, mate. That's what journos get paid. Hey, can I just reflect back a decade or so? I think it was the most beautifully orchestrated Melbourne Cup campaign via the Cox Plate was Fiorente. And I remember afterwards, Gay Waterhouse came around to our office with the cup, and it was just such a huge thing for Gay to win with Fiorente. And you were entrusted with steering the prep to a degree as well, because Gay was in Sydney and she'd come down, and you had a bit of a role with Fiorente, not just as race day jockey, just to make sure he was absolutely campaigned right through perfectly for the Melbourne Cup via the Cox Plate. Is that one of the most satisfying campaigns of your career, what you and Gay and Fiorente were able to achieve?
Yeah, it was awesome to share that journey with Gay. She got me to do a lot of track work on the horse, and he was such a beautiful horse to be a part of. You know, he has such a beautiful temperament, and it was actually my first ride on him in the Melbourne Cup. I hadn't ridden him in a race prior to that. I got suspended and missed the Cox Plate. To share that Melbourne Cup, they're not easy to win with Gay in her first one, because she's, you know, as we know, she's been such an iconic figure in racing. It was just awesome.
And I remember that each gallop was really important to just make sure he was absolutely cherry ripe. I know there was a lot of thought about just exactly what sort of work was required, and it was just a well-executed plan, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, he was raced sparingly. I think he ran in the Dardo or the Fian, and then he wanted to race at Flemington. I think he was a little unlucky, maybe the Turnbull, and then the Cox Plate, and then the Melbourne Cup. So he had a pretty light prep going into it. So, you know, there was a lot of thought and detail going into his training, for sure.
Ollie, when do you head off on the golf tour?
In a couple of weeks.
Well, enjoy that. Just one last one on Amakura. Do you think she's so lightly raced that she's got the potential or upside to progress to some bigger races in the spring?
I don't think Chris has focused too much having a big spring with her. He thinks he wants to give her a nice spell and might chime in late in the spring carnival. But she's a lovely staying type of filly, got a lot of scope for improvement and so lightly raced. So I think there is still a fair bit of upside in her.
Hey, just one quick one. I'm fascinated by the crowds that are going at the smaller carnivals. What was the vibe like at Eagle Farm? Just beautiful track. I think it was a lovely day. Was there a nice crowd up there?
It seemed okay, a little on the quiet side, but okay. They were telling me up there that it was kind of their in-between day with the bigger day last week and, of course, the Stradbroke this week coming up. So, yeah, it was a little bit quieter than their bigger days, but track seemed to race really well. It was a good vibe up there. The surface seems much better now. They've got that Kaituyu grass, which is a little bit more cushion and a bit more resilient, and I thought the track played really well and the racing was good.
You haven't got a Stradbroke ride?
No, I'm going to be in Melbourne next weekend.
Okay.
Good on you, Ollie. Well done again.
Thanks, guys.